and I'm now looking forward to answering your questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star one on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star one to ask a question. We will now take our first question. It comes from James Styler from Barclays. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you, and good morning, all. Can you talk a bit about the outlook for automotive? I think you mentioned it's looking a bit, I guess you highlight that growth has been very significant. So going forward, do you expect to see a slowdown there? Secondly, could you talk a bit about pricing, what you're seeing out there in the market? And then finally, what's the view, if there's anything you can say about the free float, which is obviously incredibly small, are there plans to potentially increase that? And again, in combination with potential investments with Midea, could there be future acquisitions? Thank you.
Yeah. Hello, James. Here are my answers to your three questions. Regarding auto, we are positive, and we stick to our general expectation that we see a growth of between up to 5% for the automotive business overall at KUKA. And we get a lot of order intake, you saw, at systems and in robotics, really double-digit order intake even from the automotive sector. And I'm confident that the auto customers will invest into the future, and there we can help them to fulfill their goals. Pricing is the same as always in the automotive sector. It's tough. It's really tough, and especially in Europe, it's very tough and will continue to be tough. And that you saw in the first quarter, in the robotics EBIT margin, you saw there we had more than average sales revenue with automotive customers, and that is diluting then the margin. So it's clear that in automotive there is price pressure, and that we see to continue. Therefore, for us it's important to further invest into the future. On the one hand side, which is on short term not so good for the margin, but on the other hand side to be very cost sensitive, and that we are looking at cost. That is a must to be competitive at the automotive sector. Your third question was around the free float and possible M&A deals. Free float, we are talking with Midea yesterday. They were at the Hannover fair with their top management and in Augsburg yesterday, and we are continuously talking to them. It's a really very good cooperation. And regarding free float, I have no news compared to our annual press conference. It's a topic we are discussing, but there is nothing new to comment on that. And regarding M&A, we are constantly talking about M&A targets. We had a meeting before this telco regarding a small M&A target. That's not something big. We have done a lot in the startup area, that Conyun and Roboception. The Beat is what we could announce in quarter one, and there will be more during the year, but there's nothing big. That are small investments in areas which are strategically important for us. And mainly I see there currently topics regarding IoT.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We will now take our next question from William Mackey from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, it's William Mackey from Kepler Cheuvreux. Good morning, Peter. Good morning, Kirsten. Thank you for taking my questions. Can you just, sorry, for clarification, would you share with us what the breakdown is by end market, roughly, within the robotics business as we stand today? And then also, you kindly offered some insight into your expectations for demand on automotive. But can you also look at that from a geographic perspective and share with us some of the trends you're seeing in Europe, North America, and China? I know you've touched on it. And perhaps how you see the growth developing in each of those regions across robotics and systems. Thank you.
Yeah, what do you mean with this breakdown in robotics? That...
Well, I mean between your end customer industry segments, so between automotive or general industry, where we are in terms of the percentage of revenues from automotive as opposed to other industries.
Yeah, I have the figures for order intake with me, but not for revenue currently. Perhaps we can do that then later. In a call, but for order intake, it is automotive in first quarter. Robotics was 35% of our order intake, and general industry was 47% of our order intake. And there you can see that we expect during the remainder of the year that there will be more revenue in general industry with tendentially higher margins, and that for us is one of the indicators that we are confident to be higher than 10% EBIT margin for the full year. Regarding auto, you wanted a geographic analysis. For the U.S. and American region, we are very positive. We are very well positioned there, and I'm here talking mainly about systems. Yeah. At systems, we are very well positioned, the number one in the region, and the American OEMs, the big ones, GM, Ford, and Chrysler, are really investing a lot currently in brownfield and greenfield, and there we are the number one partner, and I see that that will continue. Then in Europe, what I wanted to say is here that, and there you see a part of the negative free cash flow development. If there is a lot of order intake from U.S. customers, there we don't get prepayments and not milestone payments during the projects. And that means we have to cash out first for material and paying the employees during the execution of such projects, which last a year or even longer. And then at the end of the project, we get the cash when we send the final invoice to the customer. So that is a part of the explanation that the free cash flow is relatively negative. But if we see it for the whole lifetime of such a project, we are expecting a good positive cash flow. Therefore, the negative cash flow in quarter one doesn't worry me. That's what we expected internally. And it's not a bad sign. That is due to the payment pattern of the American business with auto customers. Then in Europe, we see that that is a much tougher environment. There are still overcapacities, and there are more competitors competing for the projects, and the result is it's the margin is lower, and the growth is lower. And in China, that's relatively similar to the development in the US. We are positive that there we have a higher growth than in Europe.
Thank you very much. Can I just come back to one other follow-up? It seemed a significant drop in gross margin between Q1 and last year and this year, from 28.1 to 24.7. Can you just remind me some of the levers which have, is it just the mix between systems and Swisslog versus product?
Yeah, it's mainly the robotic the robotic reason. It's more auto, and then we have a drop of gross margin.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We'll now take our next question. It comes from Sebastian Ubert from SocGen. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, for taking my question. I have just one left over with regards to your like-for-like growth in systems. If I'm correct, last year you also had a couple of million revenues from your North American aerospace business. Can you remind us what was here the numbers, and do you see any impact yet from potential delays in decision-making from OEMs, maybe not the U.S. OEMs, but Western OEMs in North America due to potential, say, tariffs on imported goods? Thank you.
Yeah. Sebastian, the aero revenue last year was around 100 million, which is we sold the business at the end of the year. Therefore, something like 100 million we have to take out to do a proper like-for-like analysis. And your second question was regarding...
It was regarding if you see any... I mean, you talked about positive momentum
decisions,
with the... with the US OEMs, but do you see any of the other OEMs that have maybe some plans in mind to invest either in the US or in Mexico or wherever, that they are getting a bit slower in their decision-making process?
Not really, not really. Yeah. If they decide for building a plant in the US instead of Mexico, we are in both countries and we will help wherever it is in this continent. And we don't admire, no, not really.
Okay. Then one follow-up question, if I may, with regards to China, and we see strong targets for EVs and hybrids on the agenda from the government. Dürr has flagged that also new OEMs come onto the agenda, as we have also seen companies like Faraday Future or NextEV. Can you give us an indication, how do you see the business opportunities with these new players, especially now with your Chinese big shareholder also in the background?
Yeah, good point. Yeah, that's really true that they are coming up, and especially the hybrid and the e-motor topic is an important one for China. And we are close to the customers there. Whoever it is, we are really optimistic that we are well positioned for helping them to solve this e-mobility topics. And I think that's an opportunity for us. Yeah, and even battery. We had some nice battery projects order intake in first quarter.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
As a reminder, it is star 1 to ask a question. Our next question comes from Richard Schramm from HSBC. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you. Good morning. I have a follow-up concerning the divestment of aviation systems. I'm not sure if I missed it, but what about the possible gain or loss you made on this? I suppose it was a gain because closing was already announced. So can you shed a bit light on this one? And also a question concerning the major order you announced today in together with results of about 90 million here from this European automotive company. It says that the installation is already starting May 2017. Is this correct, or is it misprint? Would be more or less book orders and immediately start to make installations. So this looks a bit strange to me. Can you elaborate a bit more on this one? Thanks.
Yeah, aviation. That was a gain last year in quarter four, and not really a significant number. Order intake, yeah, that is something we start immediately.
So in fact, you had already a kind of pre-work done for this already, even though the booking was not finalized, or how should I interpret this?
I mean, a quarter is a period of 3 months, and we did not say that we got the order intake yesterday. That is one of the reasons why we win sometimes such orders, because we are flexible. We are in such countries, that is in Eastern Europe, and we can start immediately. That is one of the advantages, that we are global and close to our customers.
And will this,
if time is of essence, we want to do the utmost to help the customers.
How long will it take to implement this project in full? When is it then?
It is a longer project. There is huge time pressure, but it is a longer project, more than a year.
Okay. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Christian Breitstrecker from Macquarie. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, good morning. It's Christian Breitstrecker from Macquarie. Two questions. One on the full year revenue guidance. You had very strong order intake and revenue growth in the first quarter. If we take just the stated number for the full year, that would imply a very sharp slowdown of growth in the remaining quarters. Is there any reason why we should assume that, that the dynamics will come off that much? And the second question, when it comes to the 45 million cost related to future growth innovation, how should we split that over the quarters and between the segments? And on that number, what should we expect for the next 2 years? Thanks.
Sales growth, let's see how the following quarters develop. We are confident with the 3.1 billion. And the 45 million growth investments, that is nothing you can really linear distribute over the quarters. There are several possible reasons behind, and for example, M&A effects. And might not all be OPEX. Part of it might be CAPEX, and therefore it's difficult to now give a guidance on that. When, in which quarter, how much, in which segment we will have.
Okay,
and, we give the guidance only for this year, so therefore I really cannot comment if some growth investments like this will continue to happen in the next 2 years. Yeah. For us, it's important to think mid and long term, and it's clear to us that we have to invest, especially in IoT, in the new trends, in mobility now, and therefore we are ready to make the next steps.
Okay, but you're giving us...
This is a ballpark number, the 45 million.
Okay, could I ask follow-up on that?
Yeah, sure.
But in terms of how it's hitting the different segments, is it they're most likely that we're not going to find it allocated anywhere and that it's going to be in this other column, or is it mainly hitting SwissLog or robotics? I mean, do we have
it
any...
It depends which, what is the for what we spend the money. Yeah, if it is in the others, then it is, if it is more a general growth topic, but if it is related to robotic, then you will see it in the robotic division. And we will clearly, if there is something in next quarter, we can communicate and will tell you where which amount will show up.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. For example, therefore, I really cannot give a clear number and guidance on that. For example, if we now would invest into a startup and have a participation quote of more than 20%, and it would be accounted with the at equity method, then part of the cost of this startup would show up in our P&L. And I cannot tell you today if that might be in SwissLog or in robotics or in systems or something more general IoT related.
Mm.
And then it okay, would show up in others.
Yeah. So also on this whole amount number, it's a mixture of really things that have an earnings impact and measures that just may be CapEx and
exactly.
Maybe capitalized.
Exactly. Yeah. If now going back to the example, if that startup we would have invested and our share would be 25% in the startup, then it would be accounted at equity and a part of their cost, 25% of their net income of next quarter would show up in the EBIT as a negative result, and startups usually don't have revenue but cost. Yeah, and if the quote would be below 20% of this startup and we would only have 15%, then it would be only CapEx and no impact in EBIT.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Peter Rottenmaker from Baader Bank. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, hello, Mr. Moonen. One question regarding systems and your investments in ERP and PLM systems. You started, I think, 2-3 years ago. When I remember back, there was a view that this investment could drive the margin by more than 100 basis points. What is your view currently, and what do you target and as a long-term margin for systems? If I would include this, the margin should come to more than 7%.
Ceteris paribus, you're right. We are working on this project with full speed, but that are long, that it's not so easy to implement an ERP software for the whole group of companies. And therefore, it's a longer project. We will invest this year around, let me guess, around 15 million into this project. And a significant part will be OPEX. And if these projects are done and no other big IT projects would be in our pipeline and no other effects, then for sure the margin would go up because there is a clear business case behind this project. And especially, I mentioned earlier when I talked about it first, and especially the PLM project has a good return. But you know, it's difficult to give now a guidance that the margin for systems will be 100 basis points higher in 2 years, because there are also other effects, and price pressure will be there and so on. Therefore, we said through the cycle, 6% EBIT margin at systems is really something that is a benchmark. If you look at competitors, 6% is really a lot. And again, I'd like to mention here, looking only at EBIT margin for systems business, for project business, is not everything. You have to, because there is a big cost of goods sold effect and a big effect of the material you have to purchase. That is 70% of the turnover. So there is a dilution effect of that. If you look at the EBIT margin here, in addition to EBIT margin, I'm always looking at our return on capital invested, and there systems has a higher return on our capital invested than robotics, and it is around 60%. And that shows that we are very profitable in systems, and it's a good idea to further invest into systems business.
So did I understand it right that you expect the first major effect only in around 2 years' time?
We have some effects already this year, but that is significant. That is not material compared to the cost we have for the projects. Next year we will see more, but there is still a negative effect overall if we look at costs for the two projects and the benefits of the two projects. But then for 2019, I currently expect that we have net a positive contribution on the EBIT margin,
okay,
and especially at systems.
Great, okay.
Because we started with this project at systems. At least with the PLM project.
Okay.
We'll now take our next question from Alexander Hoistine from DZ Bank. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, hello. This is Alex Hornstein from DZ Bank. I have two questions with regard to Swisslog. First of all, you mentioned that logistics, auto, pharma, and beverage was doing extremely well in terms of order intake. I was wondering, is the beverage part, is that a new focus you're looking at, or was that just a one-time opportunity? The second question is also to Swisslog. You mentioned the around 3% before PPA margin target, and you split it up in logistics, especially going up on the margin side, while healthcare staying flattish. Could you remind us, please, why the healthcare part margins are lower here, and why are you not apparently able to increase this margin here further? And maybe you could also comment a bit on the growth expectations for both sub-segments. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Then the first question was beverage. That is not a very big focus of us currently. So I would tend to agree with you to say it has more the character of a one-time project. And the 3% guidance here I said the growth of the margin came primarily from logistics, and the order intake increase is primarily logistic induced. But if we look at the absolute number of margin, and then healthcare has a higher margin than the logistic business. The margin at healthcare is roughly double that high than in logistics. And overall, we are then at 3%. And in healthcare, we are more stable. You know, in logistics last year, we had not that big projects in the execution. We won big projects last year. The Michelin was by far the biggest. We announced mid of last year, and now is execution time there. That means that we had a low order intake and revenue year at the logistic division last year, and now the big projects are executed, and therefore we have here more let's call it that is more on the upturn, and healthcare is more stable on a high level. And for both, we are positive if we look into the future, that we will grow Swisslog like we have communicated in our Matterhorn project, which how we call our internal efficiency program for Swisslog. There we are on schedule.
Okay, thanks for clarification on the margin side. That was apparently a misunderstanding. Thank you.
No, I can't.
Again, as a reminder, it is *1 to ask a question. We'll now take our next question from William Mackey from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you. One follow-up. During your introduction, you indicated that capacity utilization within the German operations is very high for robotics. And when I look to your 2020 goals, obviously there are a very ambitious upward runway for revenue growth. And you talk about the need for investment in a number of areas, non-recurring and recurring, relating to IoT and other factors. But when it comes to capacity investments for new manufacturing facility, can you just share with us, is it perhaps too early or it's the wrong time in your budgetary cycle, but can you share with us what you're thinking with regard to the need for capacity expansion and where geographically you may plan to expand?
Yeah, sure. In robotic, we are currently expanding our robotics plant in Shanghai. Yeah, and in the first quarter 2018, we will have additional capacity there, which is urgently needed. And we are expanding our plant in Shanghai too for systems business. And if we now discuss with Midea about synergies and growth options, I would not exclude that in midterm there are further capacity expansions needed.
Thank you. Can you give a sense of how large the addition is in Shanghai in relation to your existing capacities?
It's doubling the capacities in Shanghai.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
There are no further questions from the phone, but as a reminder, it is *1 to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I'll now turn the call back to your host for any additional or closing remarks.
Thanks a lot for participating in our call. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
That will conclude today's call. Thanks for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.